Hello and welcome back to our series, Anger, Universal Mismanagement. Today's episode is focusing on the topic of injustice. This is sponsored by She Speaks Wellness as a part of a Managing Your Mental Health series. She Speaks Wellness is operated under More for Sisters Ministry, Inc. and is a 501c3 working to improve access to education, services, and support systems that impact physical, mental, and spiritual health for African American women and the faith-based community leaders in a way that bridges health disparities. We also want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to our sponsor, the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health. This is being brought to you as a part of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health 2023 Central Texas African American Healthy Minds Grant Award. All humans experience anger. It is not always about how other people are processing or managing their anger outwardly, but how you are experiencing and managing your own anger. For this episode, we are speaking about anger in the form of injustice. The definition that I've used is the exercise of power to control and subjugate other people. I use this definition because the other definitions seem to state or condition as if injustice is a natural thing. I also wanted to parallel injustice with racism. The definition of racism is the abuse of political, social, legal, financial, informational, emotional, and/or physical power to control, subjugate, marginalize, or exclude people of specific cultural backgrounds. When I think of injustice that affects all of us, this is what I think of as a Black mom. The fact that there is legal policing that allows for the death of citizens, and there is no will within society to manage that occurrence. So the signs and symptoms of injustice are irritability, dissatisfaction, anxiety, insecurity, sadness, mood swings, aggression, apathy, which is the feeling of I don't care about anything, and hopelessness. Physically, those symptoms can show up as increase in your heart rate, increase in your blood pressure, headaches, pressure that causes a throbbing in your head, and digestive upset. Our scripture for the series is Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. We live in a world where you've been told since a child that life is not fair. This normalizes an acceptance of things as they are, and it invalidates your right to feel your feelings. But this scripture is your permission to be angry and feel all of your emotions around injustice. So how do you manage injustice besides screaming and pulling your hair out? We talk about coping with our anger and coping center self, some negative coping skills or mechanisms used to deal with injustice are isolating yourself, destructive behavior, and violence. Positive coping mechanisms are breathing exercises that would lower our heart rates and lower our blood pressure. Massage, as we move through our lives, we may be experiencing microaggressions, which may be cause tension in our bodies, and massage can help to relieve that tension. Prayer and meditation is crucial. As we move forward, I will be talking about some things we can do to prevent the internalization of the messaging that comes through injustice, because subjugating means to promote the belief that you are less. And if you internalize those things about yourself, it makes it difficult. Prayer and meditation is key in reminding yourself of who you are and tapping into that on a regular basis so you can feel authentic as you move about your life. Exercise is always important. Exercise is a means of improving your heart health. It's a means of improving symptoms of depression. And then counseling. Counseling can show up as speaking with a therapist, speaking with your pastor, or speaking with a trusted friend. The coping scripture is coming from Romans 8:24 through 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do it with patience and wait for it. Processing injustice is difficult. The internal processing can be used as a metaphor of a flame. The outside of the flame is most likely the inequity, the things that are most volatile and burning off, the inequity, the sense that you're not being treated fairly. And the middle of the flame is the internalized inferiority, the messaging that you're receiving that you're less than. And then the center part of the flame is something you may not be able to have language to describe. But speaking for my own self, it's a disruption to my self-actualization. What is self-actualization? In psychology, there is a theory called Maslow's hierarchy. It is a pyramid that shows the basic needs of all human beings. At the bottom of the pyramid are food, water, and shelter. Above that are security and stability, safety. That next level are relationships, a sense of belonging and love. That means your relationships with friends, families, partners. The level above that is esteem. It's respect for yourself and others. And then the top is self-actualization, which means different things for different people, but ultimately is reaching your God-given potential. If there is a disruption at any level of the pyramid, that's going to affect your ability to reach self-actualization. And the levers of injustice, as they are pulled, can disrupt your ability to work, which affects your ability to provide for yourself and your family. That's the food, water, and shelter part. It also taps into self-esteem. Policing in the community affects security and stability. You're not feeling safe, and that's disrupting your ability to self-actualize because you don't have that feeling of safety. I wanted to introduce the theory of resilience. Resiliency is the ability to withstand adversity and bounce back from difficult life events. The theory is that by changing certain thoughts and behaviors, people grow resilience by expressing flexibility, adaptability, and perseverance. That is a layman's way of talking about a medical term called neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to heal and change itself. To give you an example of this, I have a friend who about 16 years ago was in a major traffic accident. In this traffic accident, he damaged 4 lobes of his brain severely. When he woke up, he did not know who he was. He needed to learn how to walk again, how to eat, read, do very basic things. I can tell you that today he runs a kitchen, and he's able to do that because his brain healed itself, reorganized itself, and rewired itself with no medication. We are all able to do that same type of thing. The things that grow resiliency are competence. Competence is defined as the ability to know how to handle situations effectively through skill development that helps an individual trust their judgments and make responsible choices. Another part of growing resilience is confidence. Confidence is a mirrored relationship with competence. It's demonstrating competence in real life situations. Connection. Connection are close ties to family, friends, and community that provide a sense of security and belonging. That goes back to our hierarchy. And the next is character. Character is described as a fundamental sense of right and wrong to make responsible choices, contribute to society, and experience self-worth. And then the final is contribution. Contributions to one's community that reinforce positive reciprocal relationships. These are the things that when we are actively using them as we go about our daily lives and experience challenges and conflicts that help us to rewire our brains in ways that they work better. It is not a perfect solution, but it does help to combat the effects of injustice that we all might experience. Communicating injustice is a difficult process. This is a borrowed piece from a book called Courageous Conversations. The conversations that I am advocating for are Christian conversations, because as Christians, we have a universal belief that we approach life as to have a conversation about injustice, because the Bible does have things to say about injustice and how we are to live our lives as Christians. This is a compass, and the compass is to pinpoint where you are in a conversation and help understand about how you are processing what is being said and the discomfort you may feel. It also helps you to anticipate where others are coming from and lets you know how you need to adjust your conversations to make them more productive. This next slide is more on the quadrants. So in the left upper quadrant, we have belief. Belief statements are a sense of right and wrong, a gut feeling. As Christians, we want to leverage this moral part of the compass to talk about what God says. But we also want to use the intellectual part. The intellectual part includes the need to reflect and observe, to think about what you are going to say, and what supporting evidence or what facts back you up. As we live in today's society, people are becoming more and more isolated, such that they have an echo chamber and there is no one to combat views that don't align with God's word. Because of this, it allows for deceivers to come in and shape good Christians to move outside of the will of God. It is through these conversations that we shed some light and some salt in these areas. The social quadrant is an action. You invite the individuals that you are in conversation with to do something, to take action, to move towards change. This can be an adjustment of their conversation or the language that they use. This can be widening their social circles. This can also be suggesting that they vote in alignment with their moral and God beliefs rather than going along with the party line and what society says. And then the last quadrant is emotional. It's about feelings. It requires that the speaker is connected. Connection means that when you talk, you're not talking about everybody. You're not talking about a group of people. You're approaching that subject from, I feel, this is how I've experienced things. I'm going to say that largely these conversations are going to be with people that you aren't in constant relationship with. They probably don't go to your church, but you know them well enough to know that they are people of God. And that means that we can be in communion. And it's important to create spaces for these conversations. As we create those spaces, we do want to keep a neutral tone and not become argumentative. If things become argumentative, it's not a good time for the conversation and you should cut it off. You should expect discomfort, and that means you will feel discomfort with the things that other people are saying, and other people are going to feel discomfort, and to give space and room for that discomfort, because that's some of the work. You don't want to be parroting the views of other people. And if you find that the person you're trying to engage in communication with appears to be parroting things that they've heard, you may want to ask them, what does the Bible say about that? You may want to ask them, have the thoughts you've shared been shaped by others? Or is this your own personal perspective? Another piece of these courageous Christian conversations is that you don't expect closure, and you accept that there's going to be a lack of closure, and you're okay with that. It's about continuing the conversation. The processing scripture is from James 5, 19 and 20. This is the translation from the Message. My dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. As always, we want to remind you that anger has spiritual consequences. Injustice has spiritual consequences. It is a loss of confidence. It is a loss of identity, a loss of energy, a loss of faith, and a loss of freedom. We hope that you've enjoyed this brief discussion on managing your anger around injustice. We invite you to share this content with others if you feel it's valuable, and certainly to join us the next time where we will discuss the topic of anger as vindictiveness. Thank you so much.